Well, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for their obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, Paul ends this section by not really thanking the Corinthians, but thanking God, because we can never outgive God. God is given beyond all human imagining. And this is why he uses the word indescribable. That term indescribable is the Greek word, I'm not going to try and pronounce it, but it's found only here in the Greek Bible and only once outside the New Testament. But it notes something that is beyond human description. Paul cannot come up with a word that could describe God's gift. Amazing, isn't it? Ineffable is one word. In fact, how this is, if you look at various translations, you have that word described indescribable, beyond words, unspeakable, inexpressible, beyond all telling, beyond all praise. And all of those fit. And Paul put that at the end of this passage to remind us that it's God's indescribable gift that forms the basis of all gift-giving for the believer. Now, we haven't, as a church, studied this passage out in detail, but what is apparent as one reads this portion of Scripture is that giving is always an issue of the heart. It's always an issue of the heart. It's never an issue of amount, and you can place that in any category you want, amount of work, amount of money, amount of time, amount of whatever. In each and every context of giving as a human being, and again, I'm not talking about just money here, it's an issue of the heart. You know, Christ made that clear when he talked about the widow who gave her 2 cents, her 2 mites. He said she gave more than the rest because she gave all she had. It was a reflection of her heart, and that's how God views generosity. It's something that takes place in the heart. It doesn't matter what you're giving, whether it's your time, your service. Again, it doesn't matter what it is. In the eyes of God, it's always a heart issue. And it has to be that way. You know, that's why we mentioned from time to time prior to taking up an offering that if you cannot give cheerfully, or freely without constraint, don't give. Even though this is something God wants you to do, he wants you to do it from the heart. And if you can't do it from the heart, a heart of tremendous thankfulness, he says, don't bother. And you see, that's true in every realm. Everything you do as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should come from a thankful heart. And I mean everything. Everything. In fact, the secret to giving anything, including thanks, which is the focus of this verse, is Christ and his unconditional love for you and for me, when we deserve the absolute opposite, his wrath. This is why Paul closes out this passage by saying, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. See, God is into giving gifts. He's the perfect giver of the perfect gifts. Like James brings this out. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation, no shadow of turning. I like how the NET Bible captures this, because it captures it more clearly. All generous giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation, nor the slightest hint of change. In fact, one of the versions says, every good thing given, and that's a very good translation, and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from God the Father, whom there's no variation nor shifting shadow. And you know, the word good here is a Greek word agathos, and it means inherently good in quality. It's intrinsically good, but not only is it intrinsically good, it's also beneficial. It's useful. It's benevolent. It helps others. It's good, and doing good is the idea. And so, in addition to being intrinsically good, it's also beneficial. And that's what God does. When God gives, it's good. And it's not only intrinsically good, but it's beneficial. In fact, the word is used of spiritual and moral excellence in our New Testament. And the word given here stresses the act of giving. The act of giving. And what does God give? He gives every perfect gift. Always complete, lacking nothing to meet the needs of the recipient. Now, in the context of James, we're not going to go there, is James is trying to dispel the idea that God tempts mankind. And he's saying here that God's gifts toward men have a special reference to the action of the soul on man, which exhibits truth, as opposed to the error that says God is the author of sin. God can only do what is good. God gives perfectly, and what he gives is perfect. It always meets the needs of the one whom he loves. And see, God gives from his heart. So again, Paul trumpets out here, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Have you pondered recently God's gifts to you? You know, again, because of our sin natures and because we live in America, we tend to focus on what we don't have instead of on what we do. I heard a blurb on the radio this week of a woman who started writing down everything she's thankful for. And within a month's time, all the gifts that she's gotten from God. And it was well over 1,000 as she stopped and thought about it. You know, God gave you physical life. He's given you all you need so your life can be sustained physically. He's given you the ability to think and to reason. He's given you a volition so you can choose. He's given you 5 senses so you can smell and touch and hear and feel and so forth. I could go on and on and on. He's given us a copy of his revelation to mankind. As we've seen today, he's given us a local body on which he's the head. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. That is a fundamental approach to life that the Spirit of God wants to reproduce in all of us. I've looked a little bit at a lot of the words mentioned, gift. They include the verses that include the word gift. The gift of God is eternal life. God gives the gift of eternal life. We know that salvation is the gift of God. It's not of works, which any man should boast. We know that righteousness is a gift. I think I got earlier, it's the gift of righteousness. It's a gift all by God's grace. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. God is the perfect giver who gives perfect gifts, and he loves to give. He loves to give. We have the gift of prayer. We have the gift of communion with him. We have the gift of love. On and on and on I could go. In fact, do you realize that you have received every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ? In fact, that portion in Ephesians chapter 1, 3 times it's mentioned to the praise of the glory of his grace. God has showered you with every spiritual blessing you ever need, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, even the Lord Jesus Christ said when he walked on earth, where's the thankfulness? Where's the thankfulness? See, thankfulness is a spiritual issue because we know in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, that the first indication that man is suppressing the truth in unrighteousness is that he's unthankful. He's unthankful. I was talking with someone earlier. The heart of man is so hard that when in the tribulation period, when they're fully aware that God is judging them, instead of humbling themselves and getting saved, they shake their fist at him in utter anger. And this is why throughout all eternity, those in hell are going to gnash their teeth in bitter anger against God as they wail as well. You know, it says in Ephesians 1 that we've all obtained an inheritance because we're predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. It goes on to say in verse 12, to the praise and glory of his grace. Have you pondered recently whose hands you're in and how special that really is? I mean, if you look at this world and how it's unraveling around us in ways that I never even dreamed, that truth becomes so much more precious. We're told in 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul was told, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you. God has even given you a spiritual gift so that you can benefit others in the body of Christ and their edification. But one of the most precious gifts God has given us is the gift to love. What a privilege it is to love one another. And you see, God gives because God loves. And the two cannot be separated. As we think of God's unspeakable or indescribable gift, for God so loved the world that He gave. And He gave His most treasured possession, His only begotten Son. 1 John 4 brings this out. God is love. How did God manifest His love? He sent or gave His only begotten Son into the world so we could live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, I figured out this week that you can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. If you are loving, the normal expression, the absolute expression, the thing that you cannot separate from love is giving. God so loved that He gave. It's impossible for God not to give because God is love, therefore He had to give. Because love equals giving. And so God loved you and me so much He gave this ultimate gift, whose cost can never be matched, the gift of His only Son. Did you realize that same love that caused Him to give His only Son for you and for me has actually been placed in your heart so you can give the same love that He gave you? That you can be a vehicle or a vessel of that amazing love? You know, we're told in Ephesians 1, 5, 1 and 2, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And you know, one of the most obvious indicators of walking in love is going to be expressing thanks. Expressing thanks. Love gives. And you know what love gives? Love gives thanks. You know, we could go to 1 Corinthians 13 there and talk about what love is. But love gives thanks. You know, as a rule, I don't have to tell you, most people are not thankful. Even believers in Christ are naturally prone to complain and to find fault instead of being thankful. None of us here default to thankfulness. It takes the Holy Spirit producing love in our hearts for God and others that results in thankfulness. You know, when we do remember to give thanks to God, it's usually for the good things in life. And what I have found, and I trust you will attest to this, is that it's a rare thing when believers ask God why good things happen to them, but when the bad stuff hits, the question comes in droves. Have you ever stopped and said, God, why are you being so good to me? When was the last time you said that? I mean, we are pathetic people. And yet God loves us supremely. And He knows our frame. He knows we're dust. He knows that, I mean, there's nothing in us to make us lovable. He loves us because He is love. I mean, people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? But when do people ask, why do good things happen to bad people? And you know what? We're bad people. And yet good things happen to us all the time. Have you stopped and thanked God for His goodness? Like I said, you could have 1,000 good things going on and the one negative thing, you focus on that and you allow it to ruin your life. And Satan's laughing all the way. You know, it's only by His grace and gift of love that we are not far worse off in every realm. And you can take whatever pick you want, whatever realm you want. But because of God's grace and love, we're doing 100 times better than we could be. And you know, God wants us to give thanks. We're commanded in several places, I think 17 times, to give God thanks. In everything, give thanks. Giving thanks for all things. Colossians says, be ye thankful. And you know, God wants us to give thanks for the dark and difficult times. Something we're not prone to do. You know, I ponder thankfulness. I realize that it usually takes time to learn that the dark times and the difficult times are extremely important when it comes to giving God thanks. You know, all of us enjoy the flowers of life, but usually requires thorns to show us the depths of God's love and the beauty of His comfort. I was exposed to a story this week where a wife who was bitter because of a significant loss in her family, and then she became bitter at her husband because her husband wasn't bitter at God with her for that. He chose to find comfort in the God of all comfort, and God delivered the comfort, and she resented that. She resented not only what happened, she resented the fact that her husband was actually welcoming comfort from God. He chose to be thankful, and he pondered the love of Christ and the wisdom of God and the truth of God's promise. And so God in His faithfulness had to bring this woman to the end of herself, and in time she learned that she was deliberately holding on to her resentment. She refused to be comforted. And so the Lord kept bringing it around. Through a series of events, she came to realize that her suffering was not worthy of comparison to what Christ suffered unjustly on the cross on her behalf. And that He, because of who He is, cannot treat any of us other than in love. To realize that it's impossible, God would have to change who He is to treat you or me, not in love. He can't do it. It's impossible. God would have to become something He's not to treat you in any way other than love. He would have to violate Himself. And this is why maybe we should have sang the song tonight, I Will Trust When I Cannot See. Because it takes the eye of faith. But the thing about God's love is God's love always gives. That's true even in the trial He allows. He's giving in love. For He has determined beforehand that a trial is needed and is absolutely necessary for your growth and development in Christ. And so He allows trials, He gives trials. But there's never a trial that He gives that He does not feel the pain every step of the way with you. See, His goal is to make you like Himself. And the dark times of life and the trials give us an opportunity to know Him. We don't often thank God for our trials, our heartaches, and our difficulties. And we're willing at times to praise Him for His goodness. And yet we fail to realize that the adverse circumstances are blessings in disguise. One only learns of God's character, and only one grows only in Christ's likeness when they're dealing with the thorns and not smelling the flowers. That's just the way it is. This is why Psalm 119:68 is very precious to me at different times. God, You are good and You do good. Teach me Thy statutes. God can't be anything than who He is. And if everything was rosy in your life, if you're honest, you'd recognize you'd drift away from God. And so in love, He gives us these things so we can learn to depend upon Him, to discover that He is in fact the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. You would not know that apart from needing comfort and needing mercy. And you wouldn't know that if you didn't have a trial. I read this week, April 14th, I don't know what year, Daily Bread. It reads like this. Scottish preacher George Matheson had a problem. He realized that he was not ready to praise God when things went wrong. when compared to when things were going right. However, after he began to lose his eyesight, he changed his thinking. He struggled for some months with a weary burden until he reached the point where he could pray, quote, "My God, I have never thanked you for my thorn. I've thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but not once for my thorn. I've been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensated for my cross, but I never thought of my cross as itself a present glory. Teach me the value of my thorn." See, when we count our blessings, we should include the difficulties, include the weaknesses, the hardships, the burdens, the trials we face. And if we do, we're going to see that God has used our difficulties more than the, quote, good things that come in our life to help us grow spiritually. Because it's only in the difficult places that you come to realize the sufficiency of His grace. In trials, we turn to God. God is honored. In trials, we learn to depend on Him. And we find, as Paul found out in his thorn, that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And therefore, we can be like Paul and glory in these tribulations for the Lord's sake. And so let me encourage you, as you give God thanks tomorrow, and I trust that you're going to take time to do that, thank Him for your thorns. Thank Him for your difficulties. Thank Him that He loves you enough to take time out of His busy schedule to give you a difficult trial because you mean so much to Him. God cannot be anything than who He is. He only treats you in love. And this is why giving thanks is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Giving thanks flows from love. First, pondering deeply God's love for you is demonstrated through the cross of Christ and His sufferings for you. And then a heartfelt response of love to Him. You know, Colossians 3:17 tells us, "Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever you do it from the heart. Because it's a privilege to give thanks to your Savior for everything. Do you stop and realize what a privilege it is that you can serve Christ? You know, there might be a time coming when you want to serve Christ and you can't because of circumstances. You know, love means I do what I do from the heart for Christ's sake. In His love, which He shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. See, because God is love, God does love, and God gives. And when we're walking in love, and the love of God, and the power of the Spirit of God, as we consider Him and His infinite love for us, we give. Because God's love always gives. You know, if you're having a love affair with your Savior, you know what the Spirit of God's going to do through you? It's going to cause you to give. It's going to cause you to give. It's never selfish. It's going to cause you to give, and you're going to see the privilege of giving, and that includes giving thanks. See, the love that gives includes giving thanks, and giving time, and giving love, and giving of your resources to those who did not deserve it or are not worthy of it. This is again why we take up an offering. You have to see it. The Lord loves a cheerful giver that is thrilled with a heart that is just thankful. And you know, when you're thankful for Christ, it's not a burden at all. It's never a burden to serve when the love of God is constraining you. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than receive. What I found interesting is that giving thanks is not passive, it's active. You have to give thanks. This is why you have to have an active love affair with your Savior. Have you taken time to give thanks to God? Have you taken time to give thanks to others in your life? Because the love of God is constraining you, and you are so thankful for His love that you can't help but give. We should be overflowing with thankfulness. And that should be something that flows out of our mouth like water over Niagara Falls. But that's a byproduct of love. And so how do you know if you're having a love affair with your Savior? This is how you know. You're giving God thanks for the flowers and the thorns. Because Jesus does all things well. You know, as Paul admonished these saints to make good on their pledge to help the saints in Jerusalem, he just said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What a powerful way of just saying, what a privilege it is to give. What a privilege it is to just give from the heart because of what the Lord Jesus Christ gave. He gave us everything we need. He put his very own love in our hearts so that as we present ourselves to him, he works in and through us. He gets the glory as we give through the same love that he gave to us. But I tell you what, I don't think it gets any better than that. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us when we are unlovely. Thank you for giving because you are a God of love and you can't help but give. And thank you for the many things you've given us, too innumerable to even mention. And thank you that you've given us especially the Savior. And he's given us life. He's given us all things to pertain to life and godliness. May we be vessels of honor in which you can work in and through so that we be the ones that are giving. Giving you thanks and giving our love and time and resources for the benefit of others and the glory of Jesus Christ. May the Spirit of God take these truths and impress us with this reality. May you be honored by it all. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper.